lonely.
They're working
guy.
You. They're working you, aren't they?
You know what? I'm into it. And I've always loved that, and you know that.
I do know that, but it's still early after a show.
Yes, seeing his mug here, seeing Craig's mug over a mug, was not quite what I was expecting after having played a pretty exciting show in Buffalo, I thought, anyway. But it's just a pleasure to talk to you always.
It is great to talk to you as well, and Songs of Experience getting closer and closer to becoming a reality here. We've received two songs so far, The Blackout and You're the Best Thing About Me, we got today. A question about the forthcoming album. Did the last year add to the collective sense of experience that is referenced in the album title?
Well, you mean the stuff that's been going on politically and around the world and in your blessed United States?
I would think that would be one factor, yes.
there's both personal and political apocalypse behind this album. And yeah, there was I had some stuff happen to me which really knocked me. And then there was what was going on in the wider world, which just seemed so absurd. And you know, I'm well known for my bipartisanship and all the rest of it. We just felt that Trump is a different category. And his thing about violence, encouraging violence to protesters, I just thought, well, at that point, I just went, this is a whole other category. We can't work with this. And I work with everybody on our anti-poverty campaigns and with Red and with One. So it was a hard decision for me to call it out. But then I suppose this idea, because I read, you know, when I was a kid, I would read George Orwell and, you know, you have the Ministry of Fiction. And then this idea that we're post-trust, we're post-truth, that actually there's no such thing as objective fact. Remember that?
Yeah.
The old terms of facts moment. And there is no way on earth you can't just, you know, you can't just call this an emergency for people who believe in freedom and more importantly, people who believe in America. And I know lots of Republicans who feel like this too. So this is, as I say, it's not a cheap shot from a whinging liberal. It's only in the background of the album. The album's quite personal, I think. Although The Blackout has it, it's my favorite opening line ever, which is, "Dinosaur wonders why it still walks the earth. A meteor promises it's not going to hurt." And I was writing it originally for myself, as an aging rock star. And then I realized, God, no, there's something much, much more likely for extinction at the moment. It's like democracy. So the second verse goes, "Statues fall, democracy is flat on its back. We had it all, and what we had is not coming back. A big mouth says the people, they don't want to be free, for free. The blackout, is this an extinction event we see?" And that's, you know, of course, you know, we know who the big mouth is. And yeah, that's where we live. But the chorus of that, you know, says, you know, when the lights go out and you throw yourself about in a darkness where you learn to see. When the lights go out, don't you ever doubt the light that we can really be. The idea is you actually see yourself more clearly in the dark. That's when you discover who you are, is when you get your lights punched out, sort of thing. And, you know, when you have that dark moment of the soul, which all of us have, it's just unavoidable in this life. That's when you discover who you are. And so it's kind of there's a chance for this moment to be a rebirth of all the things that we care for. And that's what I'm banking on.
Well, you mentioned, and certainly everyone knows that the idea of U2 always searching musically, personally, politically, spiritually. Then there's what I've come to know is a totally different search, and that is the four of you deciding which songs actually make the album, and that's never been a small feat.
Well, Sky, you more than anyone know about that, and you know it's tricky being in a band. I mean, as Bruce Springsteen says, democracy is all very well for places like Iraq, but in a band, and but you know, there's four of us, and it's very important to try and reflect the four of us, and of course that means that decisions are, you know, are more difficult. But in the end, the band generally all come to consensus on what's great. We argue about the very good, but we don't argue about the great. And by definition, you know, great brings its own consensus a lot of the time.
When you look so good, the pain in your face doesn't show. When you look so good, and baby, you don't even know. When the world is out. We'll be right back.
You've there've been a lot of songs rumored to be part of it. The collection will, as I understand it, be coming on, I believe, December 1st release.
That coincides
with World AIDS Day, so
I would
imagine that Red might somehow be a benefactor of sorts in that approach.
Red are extremely important to the band. It's not just me. The band are one of Red's biggest contributors. And so, yeah, they're very proud. And I think Red has just gone through, well, I know, has just gone through $500 million. And none of it, there's no overheads. And as it's distributed, there's no overhead through the Global Fund. There's a lot of lives saved because of Red. But the thing about Red that's most important for people to realize is not even the money. It's the awareness and the excitement around it. You know, when Bank of America put all their machines, turned them red on World AIDS Day, I don't know, it was like 1,700 machines. I can't remember. It's probably more. And that's a lot of neon. And that creates political heat. So politicians who want to cut the budgets, and there's a lot of politicians who want to cut those budgets right now, they don't feel as comfortable cutting them, you know, because we're reminding them that lives are at stake. So, yeah, you know, that's a part of what we do. It's a huge part of who we are. But World AIDS Day this year, we'll also have this new U2 album, and it's you know, it's been a long time coming.
The second leg of the tour, the Joshua Tree tour, has commenced. And so I imagine one of the challenges now are, how are you going to work, and are you going to work some of the new material into that set?
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's a very unusual thing to do. And we were only supposed to do, like, you know, a dozen shows to, you know, as a birthday party for our very own yucca plant. But the shows became very overwhelming, not just for our audience, but for the band. And we thought, do we really want to stop this? And so Guy Asiri is managing us now. And he said, look, if you want to play some more dates, play some more dates. It's, you know, you'll play shows to support the new album next year. So just do this, and we're going to put You're the Best Thing About Me into the set now, and we're playing it on Jimmy Fallon. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that on Thursday night, but you know, our head is in the new songs, but playing the Joshua Tree helps raise the standard a little bit. You know, when you're in a recording studio, there's a malaise where you can get lost in your own thoughts. And so going back to play just reminds us, you know, these are great songs. Our new songs, they better be able to stand up to this. And I can tell you, they do.
That's exciting news for all of us, and we can't await to get the whole album to share with our audience. We do have two songs now, and I know more is to come. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. And I would like to petition Mr. Thompson to allow you to at least get 3 hours of beauty rest in a night. That would be a kind act. But I'll see you down the road, and keep raising the bar, because no one does it like you.
Well, certainly keep drinking at the bar, and it is a pleasure to speak to you, the one and only Sky Daniels. You mean so much to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Bono. Bye bye.
Bye bye.